Thank you, Brother Don, for your prayer. How are you doing today? Are you good? Happy? With reasons to be grateful to God? Or with few complaints? If you have few complaints, I have bad news for you. We are here to worship, right? To say thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you give us. Today, I want to study with you a subject that I think is important, especially for us, since we like to study about prophecy. Some of you like prophecy, and what is the reason that prophecy is relevant for us, by the way? Why do you think a prophecy is important for us? So why would you study prophecy? To know what? Our standing in history, maybe. Okay, what else? When you see prophecy fulfilled, that help us to develop a stronger faith. Very good. Yes, Sister Jean? To help you, yeah, to make a judgment, a wise judgment between what is right, what is wrong. I'm sorry, Sandy, you were saying? The Bible tells us that all the scripture is inspired by God and delivered through prophets, through us. And so, Sandy, at the beginning, read a Bible test. You remember what it was? It's 2 Chronicles 20:20. So you can read it home. It's a beautiful Bible verse. And what this Bible verse says is that if you trust in the prophets of the Lord, you will be prosper. You will be blessed. Your life will be better. Why? Because God loves you and He wants the best for you, right?
And
very good. God is always working in accordance with prophets and revealing things to the prophets. A few years ago, we used to do a game when you are meeting new people. And the game comes like, I will tell you three things about me, and you will let me know what is the one that I'm lying to. For instance, in this case, I will tell you that I used to swim in rivers with piranhas, you know, the little fishes that eat flesh. The second thing is that I really enjoy soccer. And the last one is that I have a personal encounter with a prince. So from these three things that I mentioned to you, what do you think is the false?
You like
soccer. Very good, Gabriela. I don't like soccer. So the story of the piranhas and the prince are real. I don't will give you the details about the piranhas, but let's go to the prince. A few years ago, when people start using emails, accounts, and receive an email, we discovered that in emails, people used to send you something that it was called John Mail, right? And in John Mail, it's a bunch of nonsense, stuff that you don't want, can include viruses and can include issues for your computer. If you open these John Mails, can create a lot of problems. And lately, they are getting more sophisticated, right? They hack into one of your friend's account, and this person sends you like emails, and you know your friend, and you think it's somebody that you knew, and then it's a link in the email that if you open that link, it will redirect your email to a particular website, and they will hack into your account. So even your friends, you need to be careful what you're opening when you are doing emails. Well, at that time, I received an email from an interesting prince in Africa, Prince Malachi. And this very good prince used to be from Nigeria, and he was a wealthy, rich man. What happened is in Nigeria at that time, they had some issues with the government, and Prince Malachi had to run from the country, but he had left a well fortune there. And he was in a big need to pay some taxes and some fees in order to recover his wealth. And he was inviting me as a friend, you know, in a very courteous and very polite way to join him and send him some money. And then later he will share his wealth and we will be rich. And I'm pretty sure you never receive an email like that, right? That's a very classic email called the Nigerian scam. And it happens for many, many years and it's still happening today. In different versions, different ways. People send you an email saying, oh, I win the lottery, or you win the lottery, and you need to pay this fee to Canada, and they will send you these millions. And people getting tired, and, you know, and they fall for these scans and they get ripped off. Why people do that? Why? Praying people greed. Okay. But why we fall for stuff like that? Okay, that can be a good safeguard. However, many Christians fall for that too, right? And it's because it seems like we are vulnerable to somebody telling us. We assume that people tell you the truth. And it's good people and it's bad people. When you talk to someone the first time, what do you think about this person? Do you think maybe it's a good person, right? You don't assume that what this person is telling you is a lie, or do you? You know, you think this person is an honest person and he's telling you the truth, and you assume that whatever they're telling you, wait, for what reason they will tell you a lie? Who are you? Who I am? Nobody, you know? There's no need to tell lies. So we live in an environment when you expect that everybody at least should be honest and they will tell you the truth. However, it's deception in our society today. Now, I want you to travel with me like almost 4,000 years ago into before Christ's time, and let's go to the book of 1 Kings and let's go to chapter 13. This story is well known, and it's possible that you know this story too. It's about a young prophet and his commission and his sad ending. 1 Kings 13, and we will move on from there. You know the prophet, right? What is the name of the prophet? We don't know. The Bible doesn't mention the name of this prophet. It's unknown. But for some reason, God saved this story because it's like a tale for you and for me. Let me ask you something. In matters of religion and prophecy, the Bible says that at the end of the time, the enemy will try to even to make lies believable to the sons and daughters of God, right? Do you think that you can be separated from God through lies? How confident are you in the Bible? How confident are you in the things that you know about Jesus Christ? How sure you are that you are doing the right thing right now? So don't scare me, guys. Are you sure about what you're doing here today? All right, good. All right, let's move on now. Let me get down, please. For a moment, I thought that nobody was sure. Okay. So in 1 Kings 13, the Bible tells a story about this young man that God gave him a job. And let's read together. Okay? This is what the Bible says. And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Who is Jeroboam? Well, it's a new king. Pay attention. At this time, the kingdom of Israel was split in two, the north kingdom and the kingdom of the south. The reason that they split is because the king in the south was a tyrant. He was a really bad guy. And it was a prophecy fulfilled that God made this prophecy through Solomon. You remember when Solomon deviated from God, and God said, well, your kingdom eventually will be split. Now, when this king started governing, one of his first worries was that in the north, they didn't have a temple. They didn't have places for worship. Or the places for worship were located where? In the south, in Jerusalem. So if you are a Jewish person and you want to make an offering or make a sacrifice, you need to go by four to the south. So this king started reasoning, if I allow all the people to go to the south to do offerings, maybe the king of the south will start cooking something against me. He will start stealing my followers' hearts, and pretty soon I will have a rebellion in my kingdom. So the solution that he found was, I will establish new centers for worship here in the north, and I will establish like a parallel system to compete with the South. So people don't have to go to Jerusalem. They can do it here at home. They have a problem. That all the priests that they were at the north, when they find out the king's plan, they abandon him. They say, no way. The Bible is clear. This is what God expects us to do. We need to go to Jerusalem always. So they move to the south, and then the king don't have anyone to do the work. He didn't have pastors. So since he didn't have pastors, he started hiring anyone who wants to be a pastor, a priest. And then soon he established a group of people, and you can find, you know, a group of people that they were dishonest and greedy, and they were ready to make money through religion, and they are the ones who were working for the king. And this is the situation. Now, in this situation, God sent a prophet because God was trying to prevent the people to fall for that trap. And this is what we are here. By the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood at the altar to burn incense. Now, by the way, do kings have the permissions to burn incense? Who are the only ones who can do that? The priests. Very good. So kings, that gives you an idea, the mentality of this king, right? He was willing to do whatever he think he was right. Then he cried against out the altar by the word of the Lord and say, O altar, O altar. It's like he was speaking to the altar, this bunch of rocks in there. Thus say the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born of the house of David, and he shall sacrifice the priests and the high places who burn incense unto you, and men's bones shall be burned unto you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes of thee shall be poured out. And it came pass, when the king Jeroboam heard the saying of the men of God who cried out against the altar of Bethel, he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, arrest him. Then his hand, which he stretched out toward his, withered. So what was the situation here? He was really happy. You know, the first program in the church, his new, brand new church with new priests, new ceremonies and everything. And then out of the blue, this guy comes and trying to ruin the whole party, right? You shouldn't do that. That's what pretty much God was saying to the king. You are doing something wrong. And to give support to what I'm saying to you, this is what will happen. This altar will break and the ashes inside will come out. But the king get upset, and when he was trying to arrest the guy, something happened with his hand, right? The Bible says that his hands get withered, which means instant punishment from whom? From God. And the king knew that right there. Uh-oh, I'm getting in trouble. I crossed the line, right? God didn't kill him, but he punished him right there. So something interesting started happening here. So it came to pass, verse 4, continue reading with me, when the king Jeroboam heard the saying of the men of God and cried out, and let's move, I'm sorry, to verse number 5. The altar also split apart, and the ashes poured in front of the altar according to the sign which the men of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered and said to the men of God, please, please, entreat the favor of the Lord for you and pray for me that my hand be restored to me. You will pray for someone like that. The one who was arresting you and probably trying to kill you a few minutes ago. You will pray for someone like that. Think about that. He did, amazingly. So the man of God entreated with the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, and he became as before. So again, the miracle happened right there. Instantly, right? The king was healed, and he was better. Then the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. But the man of God said to the king, if you say, give me half of your house, I will not go with you, nor will I eat bread or nor drink water in this place. So I was commanded by the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came. So he went in another way and did not return by the way he came to Bethel. So until here we had destruction, so what happened, right? This young man was a prophet, correct? He get instructions directed by God. Were the instructions clear? Or were ambiguous? Very clear, right? The instructions were, go there, deliver the message, and what else? And leave the place. Leave. Don't even stop to rest. Just move from there. Stay away from there. Don't even come back and return from the same way that you enter. Why? At this moment in the story, we don't know yet. That's on how God was protecting his servant. So this is a good lesson that we need to pay attention to. God gave us instructions. The instructions are clear. And as long as we follow, we are what? We are okay, right? When we enter in problems, when we enter in situations that they are dangerous for us, when we decide to make our own reasoning and start making our own explanations, our own excuses, our own hypotheses, that's when we enter in problems. Because that's not what God has said. That's what we think that God has said. There's a big difference there. Right? And the fact is, neither you, unless you have told me yet, but neither you or I am a prophet. So what is the difference between a prophet and a regular person? Do the prophet have a direct communication with God? Are you sure about that? Very clear. When the Bible mentioned that God called someone to be a prophet, the Bible also mentioned that most of the time the Lord was so clear, so certain, that the person didn't have any other option than to obey, because the message was directed by God. In our case, it doesn't work that way, right? Because when you and I, we are trying to find God's will, what do? Well, you start praying, right? You start reading the Bible. And in occasions, we don't find the solution. So what else we can do? You look for somebody that you trust, a friend that is a Christian person, woman or man, and talk to them and ask for advice, right? Don't go to the pastor yet, because you can get in trouble. But yeah, we look for somebody that we trust and talk to them and say, listen, I need help. What I can do in this situation? And after talking to some people, some friends, and reading the Bible and I'm praying, God delivers what you should do in occasions, in a more like way. Not always. In other occasions, God can reveal that in a more direct way to you through a dream. Doesn't happen always like that. In occasions, can be from a complete stranger that he gives you the answer. So it's a different ways all the time. But for prophets, it's totally different. For a prophet, the answer came directly by God, by revelation. Either a dream or a vision, or direct encounter with God. The message is clear, the instructions are clear, so the person don't have many choices to other than obey what God is telling him to do. And this is the case here, when this young man, being a prophet, right? He go, do the first part of the work, well, he delivered the prophecy. The second part was well, when the king was trying to offer him gifts and offer him food, he rejected because the instruction from God was what? Clear. So he rejected that. But he wasn't prepared for what is coming next. Let's continue reading. So it happened that after he left the place, you know, he continued going there. In verse 11, now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel, and his son came and told him all that he was that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told her that his father the word which he has spoken to the king. Now, the Bible is describing this old man as a what? Old prophet. True prophet or false prophet? Doesn't say yet. But his actions will declare about his character later. Something interesting how the enemy works in occasions, right? When he can get you one way, he will use another way. This old man out of the blue, far away from that situation, he tells his kids, you know what? I need a donkey. You know, that was the fastest way of transportation at the time, right? Today was, I need my car, but at the time was, please prepare me a donkey. And in what direction he go? In that direction. So he started following the young prophet, and he found that the young prophet took a little break, right? Rest. Were the instructions clear? The instructions imply that he can take a break in there. No, right? He needs to get away from that place as soon as possible. But I guess he didn't weigh the danger. He didn't, I'm fine right now. Nothing will happen to me. The story continues saying that the old prophet finally encountered him. And they started talking. And this is when the story started getting interesting to me. Let's go to verse 14. And went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. Then he said to him, "Are you the man of God who came from Judah?" And he said, "I am." Then he said to him, "Come home with me and eat bread." And he said, "I cannot return with you, nor go to with you, neither I can eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For I've been told by the word of the Lord, you should not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return, nor going by the way that you came." And he said to him, "I am too a prophet, as you are." And this is when the story becomes a little freaky. "And an angel of the Lord spoke to me. And the word of the Lord is saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water." And you find there in some Bibles, between parentheses, that he was lying, right? So this old prophet was a true prophet or he was a false prophet? He was a false prophet. No, at this time, he was. He was lying. He was being... Why he was lying? Who was inspiring this old man? Was God? So you had many choices there, right? And this is the danger for you and for me. Pay attention. I remember that I used to tell my kids stories, and when at the end always somebody died, you know, and the little child didn't collect his toys and died, you know, like trying to make like an ending more impressive to my kids. This is a story for you. Pay attention or you will die. Okay? Because you think that you are safe, that you know prophecy, that you know the 70 and the 2300 days, and that you know about Daniel, and you know about Revelation, and you know about these things, and you know everything. And nobody can deceive you. I have bad news for you, buddy, brother and sister. You can be easily deceived. In fact, the fact that you have faith and believe in people make you more vulnerable to these attacks. Why this attack was effective in this young prophet? Ryan, think about that. Why he didn't reject the king, but accept this message? Why? The message comes from whom? From God. So the people that will throw deception to you, they are no outsiders. It's people who know the Bible too. That they will speak in the name of the Lord. That they will tell you about the prophecies. That they will tell you that you belong to the 144,000. And they, because they belong to the 144,000, they have a special revelation. And they are unique. And if you follow me, then you will be saved. Don't do that. You know, it is interesting to find how many stories we get in the church today. The other day I encountered a gentleman proclaiming himself a prophet. And not only a prophet, proclaiming himself that he belonged to the 144,000. This is a person who claimed to be a Seventh-day Adventist. And because he claimed to be a Seventh-day Adventist, and he is one of these 144,000, he has received some special revelations from God. So what is the problem for the majority of the members? They say that one day Hayward here, my good friend, declared that he's a prophet. And we know Hayward. And Hayward is a good man, right? And we know that it's somebody that we can trust. And we fall for that, right? What is this story telling you? What is your safeguard? What is your protection? You need to know the Bible. By yourself. Read the Bible, seriously. Study, learn. Don't let others tell you the story. You need to find the story by yourself. And prepare, because this is scary. In the times that we live, the most dangerous people that we will confront, they are here at church, pretending to be good Christians, telling you everything is okay. We are doing well. The Lord has blessed us, right? And it's true, the Lord has blessed us. But we have some issues that we need to work in, right? So this young man fell for that, you know. Saw the old man's face, he looked like a very nice person. And not only that, he's speaking that he received a message from God. So, do God change his mind? In this story, it was possible for God to change his mind. The Bible says that God doesn't change his mind like human beings do. The instruction is clear. You need to leave that place. Escape for your lives. And he didn't do it. You know, he fell for that. He returned. Let's continue reading this story. Because to me, there's a lot of lessons in here. Now, I'm sorry, let me find here. 19, thank you. And so they went back with him and ate and bread at the house and drank water. Now it happens that they were sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back and cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, because you had disobeyed the word of the Lord and had not kept the commandments which the Lord had, God had commanded you, but you came back and bread and drank water in the place in which the Lord has said, no eat bread and drink no water, your curse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers." How ironic is this? The old prophet, big faker, nothing to do with prophecy, now he's delivering a true prophecy. And the true prophecy is no good news for this young man. What are the news? As a punishment for your disobedience, you will what? You will die. Do you think that's fair? Oh, it is fair. Even when it's to death. Say, Sandy. Well, in honest to the situation, it was a very difficult situation because the old man was a good actor. He was a very good actor and he was pretending to tell the truth. And this young man didn't have a lot of experience and he fell for the lie. However, God has prepared him beforehand, right? The instructions were clear. Remember what I told you at the beginning, that when God called you to be a prophet, he will not leave any, you know, limits of doubt. You are being called to be a prophet. It's not because you eat too many bean burritos the night before and you start having dreams. No. It's a direct revelation from God, and he knows that you need to get clear, and he will repeat it to you until you get the lesson. Once you get the lesson, you need to deliver the message. And that's the case here. And he chose to disobey this situation. And the consequences are what? Death. What are the consequences for us if we disobey instructions? You think they are better than him? If you and I disobey what the Bible has telling us to do, we will have better results. Very good. The consequences are the same for us, because the prophecy is clear, the instruction is clear. You need to follow the path, don't deviate from there. One of the problems that we have today is that we like to argument with the Bible, and we like to create excuses. In our own mind, we make justification for sin. Let me give you an example. For instance, you go walking to the ATM. You are trying to get some money from your account. It happens to be there. When you get there, there is money right there at the ATM already. Somebody forgot to get the money. That money belongs to you, right? But you encounter it there. There's nobody there to claim it. If you leave it there, somebody else will take that advantage. The money is yours, right? It still is not yours. But let's say that you don't encounter it at the ATM. You encounter it in the floor right there. You look around, it's nobody, it's 8 o'clock p.m., then you grab the money, nothing there, you put it in your pocket and you walk home. I don't need to take money from my account. The money is yours, right? Why not? It's a simple principle. It doesn't belong to you because it's not from your account. You never worked for that. And it, you know, belongs to someone else that lost it or misplaced it or something happened there. It's just a simple example to explain to you that in the Bible, many things are so simple. This is what God is expecting us to do and what we should do. For instance, keep the fourth commandment. What day is that? All right. We know the instructions. Don't kill. You know, you should respect human life and other people's life because that's what the Bible says. Simple instructions. They are there. As long as we follow the instructions, we are what? We are okay. But the problem is, in our times, we have people that dress like prophets. They talk like prophets. They sound like prophets. They present to you new prophecies. And then it's difficult to realize if they are telling you the truth or not. Many years ago, having a reunion in a board, because we were trying to select a new employee for this particular entity, all the members of the board were there, and the candidate was invited to be present. And nobody knew this person really well. So the candidate gave a speech, and he presented that he had two PhDs from universities. And our position was calling for a simple teacher / principal. That was his duty. And you have a candidate that had two PhDs in education and another in another area, and he was expressing a highly interest and desire for this position. Everybody was quite impressed during that interview. In fact, one of the sisters there, when this man finished speaking, she raised up and she had a lot of influence in the group. And she said, "It's like we hear an angel speaking to us." And everybody was, "Amen." You know, like, ah. Oh. We were so impressed. You know, the air was so solemn and everybody was so happy. And we are so excited that we are doing the right thing right now. A year later, before the year end, that guy was already fired. It was a complete disaster. So this man's lack of truth and honesty, it was reflected in our stupidity to select him as a principal. So who was responsible here? We were responsible. We are the one who hired him. We should double check better, prepare better, right? It is the same today, brothers and sisters. I know a lot of you like to check the internet to find new things. The Bible says that at the end of the time, people will have like their ears, you know, desiring to hear new things about scripture and prophecy. It is like in some of you, as this intense desire to know more and more. And it's good to have desire to know more and more. But you need to put a limit to your curiosity because God hasn't revealed everything. It's only certain portions. Because if you don't limit your desire for knowledge, then eventually you will fall for one of these traps. It is everywhere today. Check your internet, any subject that you want to research, right? You will have like thousands and thousands of people, blogs, and different opinions and different ideas. So where we can go to find a secure anchor? We go back to the same principle. You need to learn to listen to God's voice speaking to you. And God's voice is found in the Bible. It's simple like that. You need to read it, study it, understand, comprehend it, and be prepared. Because for the last time, it's not the section about force, it's the section about appearance. And it will be difficult to make the difference between these two, the true and the falsehood. But if God guides you and helps you, and you have your foundation solid, you will make it through. May God bless you this week and have a very, very good week. Amen? Amen. If you don't mind, can you please stand? Let's have a moment of prayer right now. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for the many blessings that you give us, O Lord. But especially, O God, we want to ask you for your Holy Spirit, for your guidance, for your instructions. Lord, there's so much deception in this world. And the enemy is working really hard to confuse people. Help us to find the truth and to follow it. Help us to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.